Amen. Well, this summer we are in a sermon series we're calling Not Just for Kids. It's a sermon series where we are revisiting some of the most beloved stories in all of Scripture, stories that we read when we are young, but we often forget about as adults. And you can't have a sermon series like this without talking about Daniel and his lion's den, perhaps the most beloved story of every little boy who's ever grown up in a church. Daniel, that prophet of God, that one who was taken into exile with all of the Jewish people, and yet he rose to prominence, only to find himself conspired against. We're going to pick up on the story this morning, but before we do, will you join with me in a word of prayer? Have thine own way, O Lord, have thine own way, for you, O God, are our potter, and we are your clay. Amen. Well, by all accounts, there never was a finer day in the city of Lisbon than November 1st, 1755. One merchant who was visiting Lisbon on that day said of the city, "The sun shone with its full luster. The whole face of the sky was perfectly serene and clear." It was a holy day. It was All Saints' Day, which meant many, if not most, of the people in Lisbon were in church that morning. The most crowded of the churches was the Basilica of St. Vincent, the patron saint of the city. The church was so crowded, in fact, the people spilled out of the pews into the streets. Now, at approximately 9:40 in the morning, the priest of St. Vincent stood, he extended his hands, and he said to the congregation there, "Let us rejoice in the Lord this festival day." And as the people in the congregation began to respond, suddenly all hell broke loose. Now, later, scientists would rate the earthquake somewhere around a 7.0 on the Richter scale, but the devastation, it was immediate. Churches and buildings collapsed instantly. Fire spread throughout the city. People ran into the streets looking for safety. Many of the residents of Lisbon ran towards the water, thinking to themselves, if they could just make it to the water, they could get aboard boats and escape the flames. But when they made it down to the wharfs, they looked down to see that all of the water was receding from the docks. All of a sudden, the water there, it was gone. The ground was bone dry. Now, even if the people of Lisbon had known a tsunami was coming, they would have never been able to escape it. You see, within a minute, a wall of water came crashing down on the city. And an estimated 50,000 people were killed. And why? Why did something like that happen? Lisbon, after all, was one of the most religious cities in that day and time. Of the 250,000 residents who lived in the city, nearly 1 in 10 of them was a religious professional, a nun or a monk or a priest. But the country of Portugal had more priests per capita in the 18th century than any other country in the world other than Tibet. So why? Why did those good and godly people who were just going to church that morning, why did they suffer? Why? You know, 225 years after the great earthquake of Lisbon, a Jewish rabbi named Harold Kushner asked that very same question. Kushner, too, had just suffered greatly after the death of his son from a rare genetic disorder. And in his grief, he wrote a book where he openly struggled with his faith in God in the midst of such sadness. The book sold over 4 million copies. What did he call it? When Bad Things Happen to Good People. Kushner just asked the question. He wanted to know, why is it that some people can do everything right in life, some people can be pure and morally upright, some people can live a good life, and yet bad things still seem to happen to them? Why? He just wanted to know why. Take Daniel from our scripture passage this morning. The scripture says, Daniel distinguished himself from all of his peers because he had an excellent spirit. He was blameless. He was morally upright. Daniel did everything he should possibly do. He was religious, praying 3 times a day. He was pure in his conduct and in his action. He didn't abuse his position to corrupt a nation. Instead, he did everything God wanted him to do, and still people conspired against him. While he was praying, no less, he was arrested and charged with a capital offense. And what was his crime? Well, it was worshiping God. And what was his punishment? He was thrown into a lion's den. Now, why would someone morally blameless, upright in their action, why would something like that happen to someone like Daniel? Why do bad things happen sometimes to good people, do you know? Do you have an answer? It is, after all, one of the most important questions we'll ever ask ourselves. Now, there's some theologians out there that'll tell you the reason things like that happen is simply because God gives people free will. They say it's the freedom God gives us that sometimes brings negative consequences. God gives us the freedom to make decisions. And sometimes those decisions, well, they hurt us. Sometimes those decisions hurt other people. It's free will, they say, that causes bad things to happen. I remember I had a friend in seminary who was a strict Calvinist, a man who did not believe in free will at all. He believed every day of his life was predetermined by God. Every action was scripted by God. He could not choose to do anything. One day we were eating together in the cafeteria. He was walking towards the table, had a big tray filled with a 40-ounce Coke, and he stumbled. He spilled the Coke all over himself, all over us. Well, in an instant, he got up and he shook his fist to heaven. He said, God, I did not appreciate that. I thought to myself as a Wesleyan, you know, I don't think God did that to you. I think those were your size 14s. God gives all of us freedom, the freedom to make decisions, and sometimes those decisions cause us to stumble. So is that why Daniel ended up in the lion's den? Because his enemies made a decision, and not even God would take away their right to make that choice? Is that why bad things happen to good people? Maybe. I mean, it makes sense. But maybe there's another reason. Maybe there's some other cause. You see, other theologians say the reason bad things happen to good people is not necessarily because of free will in the world. Instead, other theologians will tell you the reason bad things happen is simply because God has a larger plan that we don't always get to see. But we trust God's plan is beautiful, and we trust that if we face hardship in this life, if we face adversity, well, it must be for some larger reason. And so in 1967, in his novel, The Eighth Day, an author by the name of Thornton Wilder compared all of human life to a tapestry, a beautiful needlepoint. He said that on one side of the tapestry, you could see a beautiful image. He called it God's divine plan. You could see something stunning. But on the other side, all you saw was loose threads, broken ends. Now, Wilder said that for the moment, we live on the other side of God's good creation, where for a moment it looks like things are chaotic. For a moment, it looks like things are messy. But, he said, one day we will see the world as God sees it. We will see the image on the other side. One day, he said, we'll understand why some threads had to be cut shorter than others. One day, we will appreciate God's grand design. So is that why Daniel ended up in the lion's den? Because there was a larger plan. Something he couldn't see in the moment, but something later on he would appreciate. We do know after Daniel got out of the den, King Darius was so grateful, so thankful that he had been spared, that he ordered all of Persia should worship Daniel's God. So was that the good side of the tapestry? That Daniel had to suffer in order for everyone else to experience God's love? Was there a plan this entire time and he just didn't know it? Is that why bad things happen? Maybe. But of course, there could be other reasons as well. You see, still other theologians will tell you the reason bad things happen to good people, it's not because of free will, and it's not because of some divine plan. Instead, they will suggest the reason we face adversity is because God uses adversity to help us grow spiritually stronger. God tears apart the muscles of our faith in order to rebuild them larger. Think back on your life. Think back when you have grown the most. Did you grow the most when things were going perfectly? Did you grow the most when everything you touched turned to gold? Or did you grow the most when you were surrounded by lions? Did you get stronger because of everything you did correctly? Or did you get stronger because you faced adversity and by God's grace, you overcame it? Is that why bad things happen? Is that why Daniel ended up in the lion's den? Was the lion's den a sort of spiritual boot camp? Through which Daniel grew stronger in his faith so that he could do even greater things. We do know that once Daniel got out of that lion's den, well, he saw visions of God he had never seen before. We do know that after he got out of the den, he was an even more powerful prophet than he had ever been before. So is that the reason for him to get stronger? Yes, why do bad things happen to good people? Is it free will? Is it some divine plan? Is it in order to strengthen us? Is it any of those things? Or maybe it's all of those things. Why do they happen? Well, the answer is we don't know. We just don't know. And the reason we don't know is because in the scripture, Daniel is never given an explanation. God never comes to Daniel and explains to him why it is he had to go in that den. God never says anything about free will or divine plans or getting stronger. Daniel isn't given an answer. Instead, he is given a promise. God promises Daniel that when he gets in that lion's den, he will not be in there alone. He promises Daniel that there will be protection even in the midst of his enemies. And an angel of the Lord went to the den and shut the mouths of the lions so that he was safe, so that he would always be secure. Daniel is not given an answer. No, make no mistake about it. He's given a promise. And 20 years ago now, a friend of mine lost his father to a heart attack. It happened on a golf course one Saturday morning. He was surrounded by friends going to take a putt when all of a sudden, he collapsed. The whole situation, it was tragic. He was in the middle of a bright medical career in his 40s at the time. It was so sad, if it weren't for just one. See, my friend's dad, who collapsed with a heart attack, well, turns out he didn't stay dead. Paramedics rushed to his side. They were able to restart his heart after several minutes of it being completely still. And after a few days in the ICU and some time in recovery, he made a full return to health. Now later he would tell friends and family that during that time when he was straddling this life and the life to come, during that time when he had one foot in this world and one foot in God's kingdom, during that time, he didn't feel afraid at once. He said he remembered it. He said he felt like he was in the presence of God, surrounded by God's love, that he felt a sense of total peace. It was an amazing story, one that he actually kept to himself. You see, he didn't write a book about the experience. He didn't go on any early morning talk show. He didn't cash in the experience to make a dollar. Instead, he said it was such a deeply personal experience. He kept it mostly to himself. But he said when he did share it, he let people know that experience changed everything for him. He said, I know where I'm going, and now I'm just not afraid anymore. He said, I'm not afraid because I know whatever adversity I'm facing, whatever challenge is coming my way, I just know it's going to be all right. God is going to make it all right. Trust me, he said, I'm just not afraid. Now, sometimes in life, bad things happen to good people. And sometimes good people end up surrounded by lions. And I wish I could tell you why it happened, but if I even tried, I would be disingenuous. But I do know this. I know that even in those moments when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that you don't need to be afraid because you are not alone. I know this. I know it's going to be all right. That God will make it be all right. Trust me, he said. Just trust me. Things will be all right. And you don't have anything to fear. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen.